Good morning and greetings to each one of you here this morning. I want to welcome you here to this part of the service. I told the others this morning in the prayer room that I'm not sure what is, actually I am sure. This feels scarier than driving down Little Barton's Creek this morning. Little Barton's Creek is a pretty icy, tricky road to drive this morning, and this feels about the same. So pray for me as I do this. It does feel slightly different than being in Kenya. I don't know if Brother Steve, you could come up here and interpret for me. It might help me a little bit. I don't know. It does feel a little different than Kenya. Obviously, I'm not sure what all of that makes, but it is what it is. But anyway, I would say that probably that has helped me this past couple weeks in thinking about this new responsibility and this, the preaching part of for sure is the fact that we were involved in ministry there and preaching and so forth over there. And so that definitely does make a difference in for me, but it is definitely a new road for me to travel here. So we do want to do the best we can. We want to open our lives to you as a church. And so there's things and ideas that y'all have for us. Please share them. This morning I wanted to look at, well, this morning for a message, I was thinking about what to share, and I was, a couple weeks ago, I was kind of inspired about this. And it's kind of amazing to me, Wilson, what you shared there. It ties right into that, but it actually ties in just as well with our instruction class lesson this morning about Jesus. And the title of the message that I have here is Jesus the Healer. I would ask you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 61, and we're going to read the first three verses here in Isaiah 61. Is where the prophecy about Jesus was made. And then we're going to go to Luke chapter 4 after this and see where Jesus was in the temple and he read this very same scripture about this prophecy that was made. So Isaiah chapter 61, we're going to read three verses here. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Keep your finger there and then go to Luke chapter 4. We're gonna jump back and forth just a little bit here from these two scriptures. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Now this is when Jesus was in the temple and they gave him the scroll. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Yeah, we'll actually start reading in verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. So they gave him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to them that are to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. So we have both of these scriptures. They read very much the same. Obviously, the first was the prophecy. The second was the fulfillment, where Jesus was actually fulfilled, and he was saying what he was referring back to that scripture. So I have here the different points, or the different, I say, Jesus' mission statement here. when he came to this earth, there was, I have six different things that he has here. I'm going back to Isaiah to get these. Number one is preach good news. He came to preach good news or good tidings. Number two, to bring healing. Number three, to set at liberty those that are bound. Number four, to comfort, to create. Then number five is to create joy. You'll find that down in number three, verse three, joyful mourning. And then the last I have is praise. And you'll find that at the end of verse 3 too. The spirit of joy, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, the planting, for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, I'll say this a few times this morning, but this is all about God. This is not about you. This is the life you're living is not about you. Yet you need to experience this healing, but it's all about the glory of God. And it says that at the end of verse 3, to the glory that the Lord God might be glorified. And so that's where the thrust of the message is this morning, that you would be made whole. If you would experience Jesus, to be made whole, not for your own self, but that you could glorify God. Jump to the next scripture is Matthew chapter 11. Now this scripture here was where John the Baptist was asking his disciples. He was asking his disciples, like, you know, what is going on here? Is this for sure Jesus? He had these questions, and he wanted answers for his questions. Matthew chapter 11 verse 1, we'll read down to verse 6. Now this is what Jesus told those disciples to do. John was in prison, and he told his disciples that they need to go tell John this. This is what he said. And it came to pass when the Matthew chapter 11. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end to commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said unto them, Art thou he that we should that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who whosoever shall not be offended in me. So this is now John's question. John was asking, he's like, so are you the one? Is Jesus, or is this what we're supposed to look for? And then Jesus said those things again, and as a confirmation that what was prophesied back in Isaiah was happening. Jesus, the healer. Jesus, I put down healer, the one who makes us whole. So we're going to look at these point by point. The ones I mentioned earlier, the preach good news. Or to bring good tidings. That was one thing that was the first thing that Jesus said he was here to do. Obviously, the good news is salvation. That is, you know, I do believe that's what Jesus was talking about. If you look at, I'm going to tell you the story, but the story is found in Luke 19, 1 through 10. And I'm going to add a few details to this story, just maybe for the children and also for all of us. It helps sometimes to add a few details. But I don't know Zacchaeus's, I don't know his full life experience. But I was thinking about Zacchaeus. If you want to turn it, you can look there in Luke chapter, where was that? Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. But I was imagining Zacchaeus as a young boy growing up. What was his story? What happened in Zacchaeus' life that he became a tax collector and someone who was rejected by society? Why did he put himself into that position? Obviously, it was his decision to do that. So what was it that made him do that? Well, I just use this as, I just added these details in. Maybe Zacchaeus was a really short kid. I don't know how, you know, maybe he was a dwarf. I don't know. The Bible says he was short, but we don't know how short. We don't know his full life experience. But I'm wondering, I'm just going to use this as an example. Zacchaeus is born, he's a little boy, and he's in school. Zacchaeus is in school, he's playing with his classmates, but maybe he's a dwarf, maybe he's shorter than what the average child was even. And as he's coming up through his school years, and he's going into maybe adolescence, he is facing a lot of bullying or a lot of people just looking down on him because he's so short. Maybe he was so short, we don't know, but it emphasizes that he was a short man. Maybe he was so short that he couldn't get a job. I don't know. Maybe he couldn't see out of a fishing boat. We don't know what the story was. Maybe he couldn't do construction work. I don't know what his story was. But either way, Zacchaeus ended up in a position doing a job that was extremely looked down upon in his culture. Zacchaeus was the ultimate traitor to his culture. He was a Jew. We read that he would have been a Jew, but he decided to take the easy road to get money and become a tax collector and basically join forces with the Romans join forces with the Romans and cheat people out of money. That's how he was going to get his money. And he got very wealthy. It says there in Luke 19 that he was chief. It was not just anybody here. He was a chief tax collector. So maybe he was a disappointment to his parents. Do you think it was likely, very likely, that he was a huge disappointment to his parents because tax collectors in those days were the outcasts of the Jewish society or of their culture? So he's got all of this, and he feels like he's not been good enough up until now. He's never quite attained. So he's like, I'm just going to go do it. I'm just going to go be a tax collector. I'll make my money doing that way. So he leaves his culture, his family, his everything that he, because of all his past life experiences, he goes into that lifestyle. While later he hears that Jesus is coming to town, this miracle worker, this healer, this miracle worker, this preacher, whatever it all was that Zacchaeus knew about Jesus, was coming to town and he wanted to go hear Jesus speak. Well, he's this short guy again. He can't get to where he can see Jesus. So the first thing he does, he goes a ways back or somewhere where he knows Jesus is going to go, and he climbs a sycamore tree. And then Jesus comes walking along and looks up the sycamore tree and told Zacchaeus to come down. He said, because today I'm coming to your house. Now, a leader in the Jewish culture like Jesus was, obviously Jesus was bringing a movement, said he's coming to his house. That was a major day in Zacchaeus' life. He's never experienced this before, he's had Roman leaders in his house. He's had Romans that think well of him, but the Jews not. And this is just kind of blowing his mind at this point, that somebody was willing to, that any Jew was willing to come to his house, but even beyond that, that Jesus, this healer, this miracle worker, this preacher, would come into his house. And Jesus told him, I'm coming to your house. And I don't know how that conversation all went. I do believe that Jesus was the perfect balance of compassion and direct to the point conversation. I don't think Jesus beat around the bush with Zacchaeus. And I don't think that he did not, I don't think, I think he had, I know he had compassion for him, obviously. But he also told him exactly the way he should go, or the next right step that he should take. We don't know all those details, but Zacchaeus accepted Jesus that day, and Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. And Zacchaeus immediately said, okay, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and give all the money back that I have stolen from people plus four times, or I'm going to do it four times. I'm going to make sure everybody's reimbursed for everything that I've stolen from them. And he went back, made restoration with everything. That's scripture. Now, all of Zacchaeus's past, and if that, again, we don't know what was in his past, but something drove Zacchaeus out of his culture. Something drove him plumb out of his family and away from his parents and away from his, to the point where he was an outcast. None of that changed because Jesus came to him. None of that past that Zacchaeus had changed. But it was made whole. He was healed in the sense that he was in right relationship. He could become back into right relationship. The reason I bring that out is whatever it is that you have been through, whatever it is that you are facing, it is as heavy as it is. That's not going to change. Realize that and own that, but allow Jesus to come and heal that and allow Jesus to come and make you whole. The second point is bring healing. So that goes right into this. Brokenhearted, I put down here brokenheartedness, physically sick, etc. There's many different aspects of healing that Jesus came to heal. One of those can be broken relationships. Broken relationships are a hard thing to go through. But Jesus came, and I feel like that's what Zacchaeus had to go through, is come back through this whole healing process and become in a right relationship with his family and with his community and with his, I guess they would have had a synagogue, with his church. I jotted down a note here. I believe that newfangled mental health podcasts and self-help books are deceiving many people. I'll let that statement be as heavy as it is, but I do believe that. There's too much of I need boundaries rather than forgiving 100 or 70 times 7. Jesus taught us that many, many times, the different aspects of relationships. You can go into the teachings of Jesus, and there's many, many examples that he gives. Matthew 18, many, many different good aspects in fixing broken relationships, many good solid points. Matthew 18, 21 to 22 says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." About time for some boundaries. If you think about what you hear in the world today, I'm not saying that there's not a time when those can be a good thing, but I would caution against some of that. I do believe that there is a lot of that. And if you look at what Jesus taught us about brokenheartedness, broken relationships, things in this life, I do believe there's Jesus brought everything we need to heal those things. It's not that there's some things out there that you can learn and that can help, but I would just be careful about that. What about Luke chapter 6, 31 through 32? "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those who love them." Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. I was taught that from 4.5 years old. Young boy, I was taught, do whatever you want others do unto you, do that to other people. Still works. Jesus taught us that many years ago. He wrote that, it's written in the Bible. It's in Luke chapter 6, 31 there. You can find very good relationship advice. Jesus healing our relationships. He has brought healing. He came to preach good news, to bring healing. And I put, broken relationships. What about offenses and hurts? Did he come to heal your hurts and offenses? Absolutely. I do believe that sometimes our hurts are probably us just plain old licking the wounds of our poor old pride. I do that. Sometimes my pride gets hurt, and I like to let everybody know that I'm hurt. When in reality, sometimes it's actually just me needing to let go of something and admit that I was wrong. Maybe somebody was a little bit straightforward with me and something. And so I think we can let some of that stuff go and realize that if you are hurt, it's good to analyze why you were hurt. Was it your pride that was hurt or what it was, you know? But maybe someone actually did hurt you. I do believe that there's a lot of that. Sometimes people do offend you and falsely accuse you. People do say things about you that, you know, I'm sure are not true. But Jesus also came to heal that. Jesus came to make to where you can let that go as well. I did put down here abuse. If you have been in an abuse situation, there is something, in my opinion, there is something very valuable about professional help in those things. I'm not saying that doesn't apply. I do believe that it should never, that counseling and professional help should never take the place of Jesus renewing our minds. Jesus can heal the body, He can heal the mind. But I do think that there is a place and a time for professional help in those situations. So take courage in that this morning. Set at liberty. He came to set at liberty those that are bound. When we were in Kenya, it was oftentimes whenever... Okay, so one time... I'll just give you the story first. One night we were... I was at home. It was 9 o'clock in the evening. We were at the house and I was sleeping and... All of a sudden, well, I don't know if we were even in bed yet, but a storm came. It was about 9:30. A storm came, and it was a major, I mean, we'd call it a gully washer here. It really came down. It was raining really hard, and we had tile roofs there, but if you were at all in any kind of metal roof building, you couldn't have talked. It was so loud. And that's exactly what we had over at the lamp and light facility over there. Was a little metal house where we had the caretaker in, and it was a metal roof, metal sides and everything. So when it was lightning and thunder and it was raining really, really hard, there was no way you could hear anything. And while this rain was beating down and it was storming really bad, there was a thief in the compound, and they had no idea. There was two guys in there, two caretakers in there, and they had no idea that there was a thief in there. I'm guessing actually there was multiple thieves, but it was raining really hard, and that's when thieves oftentimes do their stuff, is when nobody's out because everybody's in the house because it's, you know, storming pretty bad. And that next morning we came there. They hadn't managed to get into the office, but they had taken some bars off the windows. They almost got in, but they didn't. Something, I think the neighbor's dog might have chased them off, but they didn't get in. But after that time when that happened, whenever it would storm at night, I would just... I don't know. PTSD, I guess, was kind of real for me then, because every time it stormed, it was like, man, I'm sure they're out there. Might as well go look for them. But it wasn't like every time that it rained that it happened, but that was a time when it did happen. So it was something that I dealt with a little bit then after that, and it would start raining. I was like, you know, wonder what's going on, and check the cameras and everything. But soon after we came back from Kenya, we were at home, we were on stateside here, we had my laptop sitting over on the counter right next to the window in our house over there one night, and I was like, I better go move that laptop because somebody might reach through that window and steal my laptop. Then I had to remind myself I'm not in Kenya, but that did happen over there as well. Somebody stole my laptop through the window, reached in through the bars and stole my laptop. So I say that to say that past experiences and things that you might say that's not super traumatic. No, it wasn't, but it is things that you kind of, it was spooky to have people reaching through your window. But those past experiences make a difference in how you act and things that you are doing today. And when it says here that Jesus came to set us at liberty, I think He came to set us at liberty from those things, from things that pass past experiences that have been a major hurdle in your life that, like I said, that wasn't a major thing, but it was something I had to work through a little bit. Coming back, even we had many episodes of people stealing stuff from us. Freedom from addictions, ability to control your body. He came to give you freedom from addictions. Freedom from crowd intimidation. Being secure in your position in the world is what I have down under that. I do believe that Jesus came. He wanted to put you in a place. If you have Jesus, He wanted to put you in a place where you feel good about your position in the world as a human. Obviously, I'm not trying to say that we need to be proud or anything like that, but be secure in where you are as a child of God. And then learn to be okay with yourself or even laugh at yourself. Don't take yourself so seriously. Be free from that. Freedom from your past. Grief, sin, hurts, and offenses. Something I thought about is when you go to the doctor often asks you, so where does it hurt? What happened? What did you do? Where were you at? Well, you know, he asks you a lot of questions. I think Jesus is asking us, what have you done? Where have you been? And then how are you feeling? The healer wants to help you. He wants you to pour those things out to him. What have you done? Where have you been? And what are you feeling? He cares about all of those things this morning. I think too often times we are dealing with something and yet we keep shoving it down because we don't want to face our grief, or we don't want to face our feelings. We don't want to face the sin that we've committed, but there's no healing in that. Stuffing it back down, there's no healing in that. Jesus wants you to pour it out, bring it out to Him. Comfort, to bring comfort. Jesus came to ease the pain of living in a fallen world. I don't think that we get this right when we blame Jesus or we blame God for our life experiences that are hurtful. We live in a fallen world that has fallen further away from God, and when we don't follow God's plan, things are not going to go well. So rather than it being God's fault that you've had difficult things to work through, rather than it being His fault, God or Jesus is the solution to the problem that you're facing. Peace that passes understanding. Affirmation that you are a child of God. Jesus brought these things. He brought you confidence that you are right with God. Another scripture, I don't even have it written down. I should have written it down, but it talks about, I think it's in Philippians, I'm not sure. It talks about boldly approaching the throne of God. The throne of God that's called grace. God is sitting on a throne that He calls grace. He called it grace. God is sitting there on His throne. And He says, anytime you just come right to me, I'm giving you grace for whatever it is you're facing. And it talks about boldly approaching that throne. Zacchaeus made a pretty bold move. I'm sure there was probably at least there were children that seen him up in the tree. There were probably other people that seen him, older people, but he was probably laughed at. This short guy that has tried and failed at everything else he's tried in life. So far, nothing has worked for him. And now he can't even see Jesus. He's up in the little tree over there. Look at him, you know. And I'm sure that it looked funny that he was up in that tree. Zacchaeus made a bold move, and I think Jesus recognized that he made this bold move, and he met him where he was, and he asked Zacchaeus to come down from that tree. Companionship. With Jesus, you have companionship. Those who have been to the healer do not need to be lonely. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, there is a verse there in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, that the end of the verse is what I really want to focus on. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto you. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." That is the fifth aspect, or the fifth thing that I have that I found there in Isaiah, at an earlier reading there in Isaiah 61, that Jesus came to bring joy. All of these things combined is about you becoming a joyful person, living a full life, I guess you might say. Healing brings joy. Have you ever felt sick and got better? My boss was really sick here a couple weeks ago. He was sick for a whole week. Couldn't come to work. Monday morning, he called me up and he's like, "You know what, Kevin?" He said, I'm not going to take my health for granted for a whole month. And it was interesting that he said that, because that's the way it often works. You do start taking your health for granted, but he was extremely joyful that morning because he was feeling better. If you've been sick, if you've been really sick, oftentimes, every time, there's joy after you're healed. That's the point. Jesus came to bring joy in your life. And people who are joyful are very attractive people to be around. A quote I heard, I wrote it down: if your aim in life is to feel good, you will end up miserable. But if you allow the healer to do his work, it will make you a joyful person. The last thing I have here that Jesus came to do, and it's the goal. It's the end goal of you spending time with Jesus, or it's the end goal of you being made whole by the healer, and that is to bring glory to God. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, at the very end it says that he might be glorified. God gets the glory. Again, that it's not about you and your need to feel good or affirmed by everyone and everything. It's about glorifying our Father in heaven. The entire process of being made whole by Jesus is that God gets the glory. First, experience Jesus the healer, then make it a reality in as many people's lives as possible. I may look at a later time on some practical ways that we can help other people come to Jesus, help other people see Jesus and experience His healing. But for me this morning, this message for me was for me first of all. But the thing that I was encouraged by in studying for this is there is a whole lot of things in life that I could point back on and say, well, that wasn't the best, and that was hurtful, and that was an issue, and I could give you a lot of reasons for why I am the way I am. All of those things do not change just because Jesus came to your door or Jesus is in your life. None of that changes. All of those things are still there. If you've been hurt, if you've been misused, and all of those things, none of that changes. What changes is your outlook on life, and your healing that takes place from being with Jesus. So it's not that those things don't exist, but you get to choose this morning if you want to be, if you want to be healed. First of all, you get to choose if you want to be healed. Second of all, you get to choose how you go forth. I think we oftentimes say Jesus came to bring salvation, and He did. That is the very first thing that is mentioned there, to preach good news. But Jesus brought us a way of life. He brought us a way of life and not just salvation. And so for us to say that that's why Jesus was here, He came to die, He could have been here and left the same day He got here if that's all He was here. But no, He came, showed us how to live. He showed us a way of life. And I think that's the encouragement I would like to leave with each one of us. Maybe kneel for prayer.